Thank you, praise team. Thank you, Laura, for leading us in the time of prayer, but also in the act of worship with our songs. Laura talked about weariness, not only our own, but those that we see around us. We remember people in Ukraine. We, as Mosaic Church, we are multicultural, as our vision reminds us each day. And we have a sister in our midst who has families, relatives, and friends in Ukraine. And we pray for them. We pray for Russia. We pray for Israel. We pray for the Palestinians. And we also pray for Haiti. We have brothers and sisters in our own midst praying for their family back home. And we join them. We join them in praying together, crying together. But most of all, praying that the will of our Lord Jesus, the Sovereign King, be done in all over the island and all over the world, including in our own souls. I'll be right back. I need my sermon notes. I'm going to show you in 1 minute how I preach. Are you ready? There are four parts. I call this, actually, the Professor Paul Wilson calls it, four-page sermon. There are four pages. Here is the flow. There is the trouble in the world. Okay? And then that corresponds to the trouble in the Word, the Bible. But here's the good news. The good news is Jesus Christ, Christ himself, brings the good news, and that's grace. There is grace in the Word, in the Bible. And having received that grace, then the fourth page is, there's grace in the world. How then shall we live? Okay? So troubling the world, there is a spiritual thirst. I'm thirsty, you are thirsty, you all are thirsty, people in Haiti, they're thirsty, people in Ukraine, we are all thirsty, every one of us. And there's also the trouble in the Word, in the Bible. We have people who lived centuries ago who experienced the same spiritual thirst. The Bible is indeed relevant, therefore. It knows what we are going through today because it's the same trouble in the Word as it is the same trouble in the world, spiritual thirst. And the good news, I'm going to show you. Let's steal the thunder, shall we? The grace in the Word is Jesus Christ. He alone can quench your thirst. And having your soul thirst quenched, then how then shall we live today and tomorrow? And that's grace in the world. Working out the implication and the application of Jesus' grace. Yeah, sermon's done. Shall we go? Yeah. Amen. Here is the picture that I would like you to look at. It's the picture of our series called The Prayers That Jesus Prayed. Okay, this is the logo of our series. It's hard to see in the background because of the light. Do you see anything in the backdrop? Everyone, look at that screen right there. Behind you. Whoa. Thank you. Tell me what you see. Everyone, look behind you. Look. Look at the screen. Now tell me what you see. What do you see? I'm sorry? Dry soil, dry ground, parched. It's like desert. There is not a single drop of water in that ground. Everything is dried up, shriveled, parched. And that's the picture I would like you to imagine as I read the word of the Lord. Okay? spiritual thirst. Hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 42, this is the prayer that Jesus Christ himself prayed. And I'm certain of it, I'm sure of it, he prayed this. Now, we don't know who wrote this prayer. The book of Psalms is the official prayer book in the Bible. If you want to learn, and you should learn how to pray, you go to the book of Psalms. It's all about prayer. Every chapter is a prayer, and every prayer was sung. So when you follow the notes in your Bible, it might say something to the effect of, to the musical note of something, something. Because this prayer was uttered, and then it was sung like a song. We don't know who wrote it. It says, sons of Korah. No one really knows who they are. So we don't have the context as to the backdrop, what was going on in the mind of the psalmist as he prayed. We don't know. But one thing we do know is he was experiencing the spiritual thirst. So hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Do you sense that longing for the quench? There's spiritual thirst going on. This psalmist, as he was praying, as he was crying out, he can't experience God, the living God. You see? It's like the deer came to the streams of water because it was panting, dying of thirst, dying of dehydration, but there is no water. And it's panting, panting, panting. Just like that deer, the psalmist's soul is longing for the living God, and he cannot be found. Hence, the thirst. Now let's find out what this thirst actually felt like. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. And here's the key verse in this prayer. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. And night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, ha! Where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes that we may see Jesus. Open our ears that we may hear Jesus. Open our hearts that we may conceive Jesus. And today, would you make our soul thirst real, that we may ask for the living water. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May I suggest that you follow the four-page sermon by using your sermon notes. You will see, those of you joining us via live stream, you will see the QR code on the screen. Use your phone, you know what to do. So utilize the sermon outline. And those of you, you can do the same by using the same QR code in front of you. You will also see up on the screen the number to which you may submit your questions. Towards the end, the conclusion of the sermon, please send your questions to that number so that we may edify one another together. Here's the theme. Write these words. Jesus Christ, He suffered the ultimate spiritual thirst to save you from your spiritual dehydration. Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, your Maker, God Himself, Jesus Christ, He suffered the ultimate spiritual thirst. For what purpose? For what reason? So that He may save you, save me, save us all from our spiritual dehydration. That is to say, I am dying of thirst. You are dying of thirst. The entire humanity is dying of thirst. And the solution to the trouble in the world is the grace in the Word, which is Jesus Christ. He Himself, He suffered, He endured, He experienced the worst, the ultimate spiritual thirst in order to quench our thirst. So may I ponder with you, what are the symptoms of spiritual dehydration? Okay? How do you know if you are experiencing it? How will you know? Oh, by the way, I guarantee, I make the following promises. Some of you have experienced it before, haven't you? That spiritual thirst. Some of you are experiencing it right now. And if you haven't experienced it in the past, if you're not going through it right now, you will, I promise you, you will experience the spiritual dehydration, the thirst. Symptom number one. You can't feel God's presence. You can't experience, you can't grasp, you can't connect with the presence of God. Read with me here. Verse 1. Picture this. It's such a vivid, vivid picture. As the deer, you see the deer in your mind? Consider Bambi. As the deer pants for streams of water, this deer is thirsty. It's panting. It's panting. How many of you have a dog? Okay. When you see your dog thirsting and panting for water, what does it look like? Come on, Daniel, you got a big dog. When your dog pants, what does it look like? What does it sound like? His tongue is out. He's breathing heavily, like, that's panting. It's beyond feeling thirsty. It's panting. Like, if I don't drink water now, Master, I'm going to die. Give me some water now. Save my soul. And that's the picture. As the deer pants for streams of water, the deer came to the streams, but there is no water to be found. And it's panting. It's panting. Just like that picture, your soul, my soul, pants for my God. Meaning, this thirst is here. I can't feel God's presence. I've came to the brook. I came to the streams of water. But no God can be found. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. That is to say, God who is alive. I once felt the presence of the living God. I may have heard his voice. I felt his presence. He was real to me. But he is not real anymore. I can't feel, I can't find the living God, God who is alive. When can I go and meet with God? In Hebrew, in which the prayer was written originally, in Hebrew, when can I go to meet with God? When can I go and see the face of God? Face of God is same thing as the presence of God. See, the symptom number one of the spiritual dehydration is that you can't feel God's presence. Don't raise your hand. Let me ask the Christians. Do you remember a time when you felt God wasn't there for you? When you felt it was God, you have this conceptual idea of who God is. You've even professed his name. You may be even baptized, but you didn't feel the living God. He wasn't alive to you. You can't feel God's presence. That is symptom number one. Symptom number two, you are emotionally, physically, relationally parched by God's absence. Because God doesn't feel real to you, because he is absent, you feel parched emotionally, physically, relationally. Verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night. So what's going on? The psalmist, he's saying, my tears have been my food day and night. One, he can't eat. Clinical sign of depression. He can't eat. Instead, what's he feeding on? His own tears. Because all day long, all night, He's weeping. He's emotionally, physically parched. But it gets worse. While people say to me all day long, people around him are saying to the psalmist, they're taunting him, where is your God? God is not there for you. He is absent. He doesn't care about you. He is gone from your life. You feel parched emotionally, physically, but also relationally. Please don't raise your hand. Have you ever experienced eating your tears day and night? Because you couldn't eat, and you were so parched and dried, your tears became your own food. Symptom number two. Let's go on. The last one, the third symptom, the worst. You feel forgotten and abandoned by God. You feel, the psalmist is feeling, God deserted him, God has forgotten about him, and worse yet, he felt God has abandoned him. Look at verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why, Lord, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemies? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Please don't raise your hand. Please, let's keep this private, discreet. Have you ever felt forgotten and abandoned by God? trouble in the world, trouble in the world. Are you ready for the good news? Now that you feel all depressed. I do a good job with it, don't I? It's a gift. Grace in the world. Remember, Jesus Christ suffered the ultimate spiritual thirst to save you from our spiritual dehydration. Okay. As I describe the trouble in the world, the spiritual thirst, as I describe the trouble in the world, what the psalmist went through, being thirsty, did any of these descriptions remind you of somebody that you know? Somebody you might have heard of? Somebody, anybody? Yes. Who that might be, Laura? Yes, who? Yeah. A friend of yours. Well, let me tell about my friend. Matthew 27. This is when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And he was praying Psalm 42. I'm sure of it. Jesus was a man of the Bible. He memorized the Psalms. He prayed the Psalms. He sang the Psalms. And as he hung on the cross, he was praying, singing Psalm 42. And here's what happened. Matthew 27. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself, Jesus. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders, they all mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on Jesus. You see, the psalmist, centuries before Jesus, he went through this experience, but ultimately, the prayer is about Jesus. The prayer is offered by Jesus. The insults were lived, experienced by Jesus. Let me take you to Luke chapter 22. This is before the arrest. This is before the crucifixion. And Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Peter, John, James, every one of you, pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, like from here to there. Okay? He knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." Can you hear the plea in his voice, the desperation? "Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. He was not only eating his own tears day and night, his drops, his sweat became like drops of blood because he was in such agony. Let me take you to two more places. John 19. This is right before Jesus' death on the crucifixion. "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, What did he say? I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, he said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He said those three words, "I am thirsty. I am dying of dehydration. God, God, my God, why have you forgotten me? Why do you hide your face from me? Why? Last one, Matthew 27. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. That's 3 hours, right? 3 hours. Complete darkness. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, would you read it with me? Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, this is why I know for a fact that Jesus prayed Psalm 42. I know for a fact that he was experiencing the ultimate thirst. He felt abandoned by God himself. He was being mocked by the onlookers. He was betrayed by his own friends and disciples. And day and night, not only was he eating his own tears, his sweat became like blood. You know why? You know why he suffered the ultimate spiritual thirst? To save you and me. To save you and me from our own spiritual dehydration. Please write these words in this line. Jesus got what I deserve so that I may get what I don't deserve. Jesus got what I deserve so that I may get what I don't deserve. You know why I'm so thirsty before meeting Jesus? And that's because of a separation from God. Every one of you, this is a human existential experience in need. You need to quench your soul thirst. And you try all kinds of things. You try good education, good career, good relationship, even marriage. And after you get married, you are still thirsty. So you try having children, and they bring about more thirst. Everything in your life that you desire is your attempt to quench your soul thirst. But nothing will quench it. And that's because your soul thirst can only be quenched by one person, and one person only, and that's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. What do I deserve? I deserve, because I'm a sinner, I deserve separation from God the Father. That's what I deserve. But Jesus got what I deserve. He was separated. He got forgotten by God the Father. He got forsaken by his own Father in heaven. You know, that's an amazing, amazing truth. Listen, I don't know. There's about 100 of you here and 900 on live stream. Okay. As you're walking out, you shake my hand, you say, "Oh, Pastor V, you suck as a preacher." Okay. No, hang on. Work with me here. If Daniel said that to me, and I've known Daniel since 2007. We go way back. Okay? I officiated their wedding, did I not? And how's your marriage going? Real good. You got four children, and I baptize all of them, right? We're tight. I respect him a lot. He likes me. He helps me out with lots of things. But if he said, Pastor V, your sermons stink, I'd be hurt. Yes? Fair? Okay. Now, first time guest here. I never met you. I don't know you. We have no relationship. If you said it to me, Pastor V, nice to meet you. You suck. Would I be as hurt? Okay, good, good, good. Okay. So, first time guest, not as much, so whatever, right? Daniel, that hurt. But what if my wife, I come home today, the first thing she says to me, honey, you suck. How do I feel? Would it be worse than how Dan made me feel? That's fair. Okay, good. So you see the progression. Now here, look. This is the point. Jesus Christ, the Creator God, the maker of all things, your Creator. He and God the Father, they were inseparable. They were one together. Since eternity, the Father loves the Son more than anything, and the Son loves the Father more than anything. And the Father abandoned the Son. The Father forsook the Son, and the Son felt totally abandoned. How much do you suppose that hurt? How much? Emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, can you imagine the depth and the breadth and the weight of that separation? That soul thirst. Jesus Christ, he suffered that. He got what I deserve, you see? You follow? He got what I deserve. So that I get what I don't deserve. What do I get now in the person and the work of Jesus Christ? The Father accepts me. The Father says, Victor, because of my Son Jesus, I accept you. I love you. I take you as my own adopted son. I get what I don't deserve because of Jesus Christ. That's grace. In the word, let me end with grace in the world. Application number one, therefore. When you feel the spiritual thirst, drink the living water, my friends. When you feel the spiritual thirst, drink the living water. Laura alluded to it earlier, John chapter 4. Jesus says to the woman at the well. The woman came to the well because she was thirsty and she was drawing water out of the well. And this is what Jesus said to her. And this is what he's saying to you today. Listen. Jesus Christ is saying these words to you. Listen. Everyone who drinks the water from the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is your living water. And once he comes into your soul, into your heart, he's welling up. There is no shortage of the living water. He makes you feel satisfied. Here's how. What is your purpose? Why are you here? What is the purpose and the reason, the meaning of your life? Jesus quenches that thirst. He says, I created you for my glory. I'm going to save you for my glory. And when I become that living water welling within you, you will never thirst. You'll be so satisfied. So my friends, when you feel the spiritual thirst, drink the living water. Application number two, grace in the world. When you feel the spiritual thirst, drink from the community. Drink from the community, the body of Christ. Here's how I get this. Look at verse 4, Psalm 42. The psalmist saying, he's thirsting, right? He's thirsty, he's dehydrated, he's dying. He says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. He's going to the temple of the Lord with God's people, with the community, with the body of Jesus. Let me go on. Verse 6. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you, God, from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Somehow, he was in Jerusalem, south of Israel, with God's people. But now, he's moved or he's relocated. We don't know why. We don't know how. All we know is that he's separated from God's people. And that's why when you feel that soul thirst, you don't drink alone in your privacy like opening the tap water. No, you drink it from one another. From one another. Here's how I know. Here's how I know. Okay? Two examples. By the grace of Jesus Christ, right now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, as this sinner is spitting and saying all these things, something's happening to you. Something's happening to you. I am unworthy. I suck. I suck royally, but Jesus rocks. So whatever is happening to your soul, something good. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus Christ welling up the living water within you. But it's happening where? Here, in the body of Jesus, in the community. So let none of you say, I can drink this living water all by myself, in the privacy of my home, all alone. Jesus says, no, The full experience of the living water is given to the community. Second observation, Ephesians. Where's Jesus right now? Where's the living water? He's not here. He's not here. He's up there, seated at the right hand of God. He's not present physically. But Ephesians says, the full presence of the living water is given to the body of Jesus, the local church, the local church, the local church. Christ is present, the living water. Turn to the person next to you and poke him. Now, do it. That's a drop of the living water right there. That's the drop of living water right there. And collectively, together, we become the fullness of the body of Jesus. And this is why we belong with Jesus, and therefore we belong with his body. Last one. Let me end with this. Grace in the world. Application three. When you feel the spiritual thirst, say that with me. Preach to your soul. Preach to your soul. Listen, the key verse is repeated in Psalm 42 twice. Verse 5 and verse 11. Keep in mind, the psalmist is downcast, thirsty, dying of dehydration, right? And he preaches to himself, my soul, my soul, my soul, why are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? What's he doing? He's talking to himself. He's talking to his soul. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Verse 11, exact same repetition. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Read it with me. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So friends, when you follow Jesus, when his living water is welling up within you, and when you experience this, I'm getting spiritual thirsty, what do? You preach to yourself. That's what a Christian is. Christian is a man and a woman who preaches to himself and herself the very truth of the words of Jesus Christ to his, her soul. Why are you downcast? Isn't Jesus the living water? And then make the resolution. I will put my hope in God, my Savior and my God. Question. When the psalmist prayed that prayer, why is my soul downcast? Put your hope in God, okay? Is anything changed? Is he not thirsty anymore? No, I believe he preached to his soul while feeling thirsty. And that's the point. When you follow Jesus, when you love him, and when he enters your soul, and when he becomes the living water welling up within you, it is a journey. He quenched my soul, and yet I need to come to him daily. And when I do that, I preach to my soul. Victor, life is hard. Yeah. You feeling downcast? Yeah. Don't stop there. Acknowledge it. Call the spade a spade. Life is hard. I feel disturbed within me. But I'm going to preach to myself. Victor, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. In Jesus Christ. Who loves you. Who died for you. Who rose for you. Who has a plan for you. And the one who quenches your thirst. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my shield, my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Friends, let me speak to the unbelievers in the room, online. This is the day of your salvation. This is the day of your salvation. I believe Jesus Christ spoke to your soul through his Holy Spirit. He wants to quench your thirst. Would you say these words in your heart? Lord Jesus, I thirst. Will you quench my thirst? Come into my soul and become my living water. Say that prayer today. And for the rest of us, the followers of Jesus, come to him again and again and again. I will put my hope in you, Lord Jesus, no matter what happens. For you are my Savior. You are my God. You alone can satisfy me. I worship you. I trust you. I follow you. In the name of Christ, amen.